Morning. It's good to see each and every one here this morning. You know, even when we are going through these trying times and everything, or I prefer to refer to them as uncharted waters, but we still have our minds and our hearts focused on God. I know coming in this morning, Pastor Man had a very nice hurricane boat behind his truck, and I made the comment, well, they must be preaching on Fishermen of Men this morning because he's got his boat with him. But you know, the thing of it is, people make decisions every Lord's Day. Do I want to go to church or am I going to do something worldly? We have to stop and think now. If I go out fishing, I might catch a record bass or I might catch plenty of fish and all. Then again, boat could sink. My point is, what's the benefit and the blessing of coming to church? Well, first off, from a human side, from my point of view, the encouragement. I get a lot of encouragement, especially when I look out this morning and see so many. And a lot of young people. That means that somebody's got up early, not only got their self ready, but they got these children ready, and they brought them on. And I commend you for it. I know it's Father's Day, and I say Happy Father's Day, but a lot of these women and all, it's a family thing. When you got children, it's a family thing that gets all these children here. But I want to talk to you this morning about, even though all this is wonderful blessings, there's a lot more benefits than just what we see. For being, if you would turn with me this morning to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, we see plenty of benefits. Thank you, sir. We see plenty of blessings and stuff that's going to come to us and all. I guess I need to start off with congratulating Marcia with the 34 years anniversary. So I want to thank her on that one. I think Reggie's got me to know. You're 37, we just celebrated. So, but anyway, that's another great benefit there, showing how that the family that comes to church together, it's just easier to stick together. Anyway, Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. It says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have an access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commended his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Verse 11 says, not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. We're seeing here in our reading the book of Romans, chapters 5 through 8 form one of the subunits. And I've heard this subunit called before, entitled The Great Privileges of the Justified Believer. And I got thinking about that. We see in Romans chapter 3, tells us that the whole world is shown to be guilty before God. But as we come to the end of Romans 3 and on into Romans 4, we find that God does have a plan of salvation for guilty sinners. That plan of salvation is by grace through faith. And God's grace and our faith, God's grace provided the Lord Jesus as the perfect sacrifice, the substitute for us as sinners. And we have the faith. All believers should breathe a sigh of relief And we just read this first verse in Romans chapter 5 when it says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. This gentleman's hearing it been justified. We could ask that question. Now, wait a minute, what you mean when you say I've been justified? We've been declared righteous. We have been forgiven of our sins. Now, chapter 5 through chapter 8, we have the great privileges of the justified believers. In Romans chapter 5, we just read these verses 1 through 11. We have some of the great blessings and the benefits of our salvation that I want to kind of look at and go over a little bit this morning. First off, God's plan of salvation includes peace with God. We've seen here in verse 1 where it says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, peace with God means that we are no longer at odds with God. We are no longer enemies or on a different side of a relationship with God. We are no longer in a state of war with God. We are no longer alienated from our God. Peace has been declared because of what God has done for us through Christ. Now, if you're not a Christian, you know, you'll still be able to feel at peace. I'm sure that people who aren't Christian feel at peace. But they're not truly at peace with God. That's what we got to worry about. We don't need to worry about, well, I feel good today, or I feel like everybody likes me today. I feel like I'm at peace. We need to feel like I'm at peace with God. And to do that, we have to study God's Word. We have to use, as we said before, we have to use God's Word as a mirror as we look into it. And then we look at our lives and compare it with God's Word and make sure that we at peace. Because if you're a Christian, you are at peace with God. Even though you don't always have peaceful feelings, God's plan of salvation includes peace with God. Now verse 2 goes on and says that, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. The idea here is that believers are in, let's say, the sphere of God's favor. This is the amazing position in which we stand before the Almighty God. Our standing before God is so favorable that we can call him Abba, which is the Hebrew word for father, when we address him. What it's telling us is that we are in God's family. He is our heavenly father. He is the one that we need to celebrate and thank daily. Because that is such a blessed position to be into. We can go right into the presence of God with boldness, according to Hebrews chapter 9, chapter 10, verse 19. Hebrews 10 and 19. Knowing that we are in the sphere of his favor. God's package of salvation includes favor with God. God's package of salvation also includes this hope of glory. As we just seen in verse 2, it said, and rejoice and hope of the glory of God. It tells us what to do. We need to rejoice in what? The salvation. The salvation of what? The hope of glory. The idea here is that we look forward to heaven when we will be with the Lord in glory. And that is a sure hope. It's not a we hope. It's a true kind of hope. It's a sure hope that we have something. It's only called a hope because it's out there in the future. God's plan of salvation includes the hope of glory. Now notice that in these first three blessings, we have our past, our present, and our future. We have been justified and given peace with God. That's our past. We are now in a place of favor with God. That's our present. And we know that one day we will be with the Lord in glory. That's our future. To me, that is a wonderful plan. That's a great plan. Another part of God's plan of salvation includes joy tribulations. Now, before I started studying God's Word and all, I'd have never put those words together. How am I supposed to be happy and joyful when I'm going through tribulations? You know how easy it is to get so caught up in your tribulations and everything, you just say that, what's the use? Undoubtedly I've done something, God don't like me no more. He just allowed all this to come upon me. That's the coward's way out. You're going to really suffer if that's the way you look at trials and tribulations. We have to look at trials and tribulations and be happy that I don't have to face this on my own. Well, maybe I got some things in my life I want to talk to someone about, but I'm scared if I talk to them, it's going to get all over everywhere. I might as well just put it on Facebook or in the news, take an ad out in the newspaper. I tell you, we got a Heavenly Father we can talk to constantly. We can tell Him anything. And the best thing about it, He already knows about it. But here we're seeing verses 3 and 4. Verses 3 and 4 told us, not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, character, and character hope. And hope doesn't disappoint. Glorifying in tribulation doesn't mean that we jump for joy when we have a car accident, or that we shout praise to the Lord when we find out we have some kind of heart disease or some kind of serious medical problem or some other trouble or difficulty. That's not the idea here. The point that we can rejoice even in times of trouble and tribulation because we know that we have a Heavenly Father, our God is in control and has a purpose in our problems. Tribulations are used by God to teach each and every one of us patience, perseverance, to build character, and yes, to give us hope. Many times have we prayed and asked God to help me become a better Christian. Help me be able to accept the trials and everything around me. Give me wisdom. That's what we're going through our trials and tribulations for. Because once we get through our trial, when we face with some kind of stumbling block or a big trial or tribulation, when we get through that, don't we feel a lot better? And we don't need to say, whew, I done that all by myself. I am so good. We need to thank God for carrying us through whatever trial, tribulation, or heartache it was. Now that's the only way that we made it. As I said here, it's the point that we can rejoice even in times of trouble because we know that God is in control and has a purpose in our problems. Tribulations are, as I said, to use or to teach us that patience, to help build our character and everything, give us hope. Tribulation will keep us from getting too satisfied with the here and now. They help us keep our eyes focused on what's eternal and not what's temporal. Now, tribulations will actually strengthen our faith if we trust in the Lord. So when things are not going so well for you, you can be glad when you realize that God is at work in your life. God's plan of salvation includes joy. Yes, even in tribulations. God's package of salvation includes assurance of salvation. That's all here in verses 5 through 10. Kind of brings the question up, makes us ask ourselves, do you doubt your salvation? How do you know that your faith is strong enough and you haven't lost your faith because of trials or because of these tribulations? It's easy. Go back and read verses in Romans chapter 5, verses 5 through 10. And you look back at Romans chapter 5. It said, in hope, make it not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us Verse 6 says, for when we were yet sinners, without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet preadventure for a good man should one even dare to die. But God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified in his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And in verse 10 says, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Now, you know, just that verse right there kind of goes back and tells us, God tells us to love everyone. God tells us to love our enemies. And you sit there thinking, well, now, how can I love this person when I know they're out to get me? No. I know that person is my enemy. How can I love him? What's required to us? Talk to the person. Try and share time with that person. Do a good, something good for that person. What did God do for his enemies, the sinner? He allowed his only begotten Son. Now we can give our time, we can give our money, but that don't even start to begin to compare with our Son. God really shows his true love. And he's telling us here to love all. He's telling us here that he loves each and every one of us. This is a great passage of assurance. And then you got people that say there's really no such thing as heaven. If God showed his love to the point that he allowed his Son to be crucified so that we can make it to this place called heaven, I think that we can all agree there is a place called heaven. In these verses, we find both the subjective proof and the objective proof that gives assurance of our salvation. Now, the subjective proof is the love of God that we have in our hearts. We only have those warm feelings of love for God because we have the Holy Spirit dwelling within us. And only believers have the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. It gives us this warm feeling of knowing that we have our place and our relationship in God's family. We know that he is there for us. And then think of the objective proof. Christ died on the cross. His death is a fact of history. Then the question is, now for whom did he die? For good people? God's word tells me that he died for the just and the unjust people. He died for each and every one of us. Verses 9 and 10, much more than having been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. How much more assurance could one ever want? Our justification didn't depend on just us. And neither does our eternal security. God's salvation includes assurance of salvation. In other words, God's plan of salvation includes our reconciliation. We see here where it says, for when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son. Much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Reconciliation is more than just justification. Justification is more than redemption. Now, in redemption, we are bought and brought out of the slave market of sin and forgiving of our sins. In justification, we are more than just forgiven of our sins. We are declared righteous. and in reconciliation, we are more than just forgiven and declared righteous. We are brought into a wonderful, a beautiful, harmonious relationship with God. Now notice in verse 10 that God was not reconciled to us. We were reconciled to God. We were the problem, not God. We were the ones that separated ourselves from this unity with God. God didn't separate himself from us. He said we were reconciled back to God. And if we were reconciled to God through Christ's death, according to verse 10, how much more are we secure because the Lord is alive and living to keep us in that blessed state of reconciliation? I'll talk to you a little bit about what all God has done for us, what God offers each and every one of us. What we need to stop and ask ourselves, what have I done for God? What do I offer this relationship? What's God ask out of it? Everything's already God, so we can't just give it to him. What God wants out of it is our time, our love, our appreciation, and our respect. By this, what I'm talking about here is that he wants us to go out and talk to others and tell them about God, how much God loves them. Tell them what God has done for each and every one of them. But mainly, let them know that no matter what they're going through, they can have this, enjoy the same peace of mind. They can rejoice also in their tribulations because God allowed his son to die for each and every one of us. In closing this morning, I'd like to ask you a few things. First of all, I want to tell you that let's not forget to thank God for more than just fire insurance. A lot of time when you buy your fire insurance on your homes and all, you buy it high in hopes of not needing it. I'm going to tell you, you're going to need it this time in this situation. So let's not forget to thank God for allowing his son to die on that cross to give us the opportunity of escaping, of eternity, of heaven, fire, and damnation. And if we're believers, surely we have thanked the Lord for saving us from these fires of hell. But have we thanked the Lord for the blessings and the benefits that we just talked about here in Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 11, including the blessing of exalting and rejoicing in God himself, verse 11. When did you last thank God, the Lord, for your assurance of your salvation? When did you last thank the Lord for your reconciliation? When did you last thank the Lord for your tribulations and your problems? Now, that's not an easy one to do, is it? But we got to look at not as a problem, but as a character build. We can get through it. But how we get through it is what's going to tell us. We can thank the Lord for all these things, and we should, because all of these things are part of God's great plan of salvation for us. And the main thing I want to get you to take out of this lesson is let's not forget to thank the Lord for more than just fire insurance, more than just saving us from eternity in hell. The way to do that is be baptized. If you need to be baptized, we're here this morning for you. And don't have to just be here this morning. We'd love for you to do it this morning if you need it, because the sooner, the better. Because we're none offered another second of our, or we're none guaranteed another second of our life. So you better do it as soon as possible. You've already been baptized, but if you stepped out of his way, you're no longer in relationship with God's love. Tell you, you're in danger of hell's fire that way also. So if you've stepped out of his way and you need the prayers in the congregation, the encouragement of it to come back, I ask you to whatever you need may be, to come forward.